Hello there, I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people, and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
This podcast should not be used as a substitute for medical or mental health advice. Individuals are advised to seek independent medical advice, counseling, and/or therapy from a healthcare professional with respect to any medical condition, mental health issue, or health inquiry, including matters discussed on this podcast. This episode discusses abuse, which may be triggering to some people. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the podcast author or individuals participating in the podcast and do not represent the opinions of Red Table Talk Productions, iHeartMedia, or their employees.
I don't think so. Before Bikram, anybody has set up such a big impact. And this yoga has given in US so much employment to the students. So that's how he misuses their effort, their money, and their dedication, their love about yoga.
Dozens of folks going through dozens of yoga poses led by a charismatic Speedo-clad guru in a 105-degree room. What could go wrong? Well, apparently a lot. And such is the story of Bikram Yoga, a yoga brand founded by Bikram Choudhury that his followers believed was life-changing. Unfortunately, as often happens when a person starts calling themselves a guru, things got really toxic really fast. Choudhury's style was contemptuous, gaslighting, dismissive, and at times, megalomaniacal. Teacher trainings were notoriously brutal. But people swore by the yoga, claiming it healed what was ailing them, making Choudhury a very wealthy and powerful man. Over the years, numerous women came forth with allegations of sexual impropriety and abuse. Insiders within the organization enabled him, and ultimately, in 2016, a culmination of lawsuits and ongoing accusations led him to flee the United States. People came to Bikram Yoga from a place of trust, belief, commitment to healing, and devotion to their guru/teacher. Sadly, these are the perfect conditions under which an unempathic, grandiose, entitled, and charismatic man can take advantage of people who want to believe.
Where I'd like to begin
Mandeep, is if you could just tell us a little bit about your life in India and your start in pursuing yoga, because I know you practice in a very devoted way. So how did that all begin for you?
First of all, thank you so much for having me there. And it's a nice opportunity for me to be there with you. So I started my yoga journey in a very early age during my graduation, because I have done my master in physical education from Haryana. Mm-hmm. So we have a subject, yoga. Mm-hmm. So it depends on which sports we took to pursue it in the future. I started in 2001, my yoga journey. And that's how I, shorts my interest and my hobby to, it's like more of sports for me is more important than doing something else sitting at home.
Okay.
So that's how the yoga comes in my life. And so it's been like almost maybe more than 20 years.
Wow. Okay.
I'm doing yoga.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. What a funny journey, right? But Mandeep, there's doing yoga and there's doing yoga. You really do it. You're in it. What made yoga more of a passion for you?
I started as a sport in my yoga life, in my graduation. But when I left after competing, I have competed many times in India. All the championship, inter-college, inter-university. Mm-hmm. I have achieved so many gold medals in there. I got 7 gold medals in inter-university, 5 to 6 gold medals inter-college. So that's how I start loving yoga. Mm-hmm. But somehow, what happens in India, you study and then you got married. You finish your studies and you get mad. That's the end, basically. And that same thing happened with me. I've been so many things and then I got married. But unfortunately, in my life, I lost my husband in a car accident.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, my son was only 2. I was a mother on that time and he passed away.
Oh my goodness, you were a new mother.
So my son was only 2 months on that time.
Oh, you're a new mom of a 2-month-old baby and your husband died in a car accident. I am so sorry.
Yeah.
So you continued yoga?
No, on that time, I was left with the emptiness.
Yeah.
I had gone through so much stress and the depression. It's not only like you lost somebody. It's you lost everybody around you.
Yeah.
Even your in-laws, even your neighbors, or they surround you and they start giving you the advice which is don't need it on that time. That period was very tricky for me. Like I started as a teacher, as a yoga teacher at one school on that time, a job, so that I can support myself and my son and to take care of myself, basically. And there was a very less money on that time. What I was doing, I was going to so much depression and so much pressure in my head, I would not be able to cope up. Then I thought like, no, this is not going to happen. Then I choose to compete again as a state level or as a national championship, because that's what I was before to get mad. So then I thought, okay, this is my last chance. Let me try one more time. I competed at the state level. I won the gold medal. Then I competed the national in the gold medal.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I entered into the international championship. That's how the journey started, one by one. That's how I went to U.S. to participate in the international championship. There was a Bishnu Charan Ghosh Cup.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal. To be a national champion in a country of 1 billion people already is huge in and of itself. But then to go to the international competition is quite remarkable. And especially in the wake of having gone through such a difficult time. And this is an American podcast. I don't know that our listeners necessarily will appreciate the context of marriage and family in India and the meanings around it. And to be a young woman who's lost her husband it's a very complicated space. I mean, with in-laws, especially when there's a child involved. And so as much as that would be extraordinarily stressful and grief-filled in the United States, it's at an entirely different level in India that carries so much more sort of cultural heaviness to it too. So your journey is all the more remarkable for the barriers you came through. And it sounds like at that point, competitive yoga was part of your process of going through grief.
Yeah.
Now, in this extraordinary journey, you've come to the International Yoga Championship in the United States. And it was at that point, your routine at those international championships caught the attention of Bikram Chowdhury. Could you take a moment here and just educate us on exactly what Bikram Yoga is?
See, he never invented the postures. He just invented the heat. So he took the postures from his guru. It's a book already. It is in the documentary where they said this, all the postures he chooses in the making a series, all are postures taught by his guru in their Calcutta, the studio. Mm-hmm. So he took the postures and he invented, he put the dialogues in it. And that's how we start teaching yoga. So that's, he says in the name of Bikram Hot Yoga.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's combining a series of yoga poses from asana yoga in a mm-hmm. in a certain sequence and adding the heat. But the poses always existed.
Always, always. All the postures.
What drew you to Bikram?
So there was a big change to shift my yoga journey to like normal yoga to hot yoga, basically. Because mm-hmm. Bikram mm-hmm. is known for a hot yoga classes yes. in US. Mm-hmm. When I entered into US, so I was having so many problems physically mm-hmm. or mentally or mm-hmm. emotionally. I was not fit for that, pushing myself. I was weak. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was showing I'm strong on that time. Mm-hmm. But from inside, I was weak. I was very weak to, you know, to take the step ahead. I was going through some skin issues after having a baby. I don't know what happened. I got a skin issues. After mm-hmm. the delivery, I was having a skin problem. Mm-hmm. So when I entered into US and I just did my first class over there, hot yoga, I have seen the changes into my skin. Mm-hmm. And I was taking medication every 3 days before. And when I started doing hot yoga, it was like a 5 to 6 days rest. I didn't took any medication. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was the first sign for me. I thought, okay, maybe this yoga can treat me physically first and maybe mm-hmm. mentally later on. Mm-hmm. I took courage for the first class was the worst class for me. By the mm-hmm. way, I never thought that this type of yoga is going to be around. I was thinking like people are crazy. Why they're doing yoga in a hot room? Why mm-hmm. why they're sweating so much? In India, it's totally different. We do yoga in open parks. We do yoga in, you know, with the lots of big spaces. There's nobody yeah. is troubling you. But over there, there was like a room, heated room. And there was it's a packed room. There's no door open. There's no windows open. And everybody's there just doing for the 90 minutes class. I did the first class and I almost like touched the death first class. And then it took me so much power to go back into the second class. But I mm-hmm. think in medically, it really helped me to choose Bikram yoga and then the normal yoga because I was getting medicated benefit from hot yoga.
Did you come to the United States and take the hot yoga classes before you met Bikram at the international championships, or you met him first?
I met him first because okay. we were there as a competitor, as India president. So we were there only for 10 days mm-hmm. in US. They say that if you want to do hot yoga, they announce if you want to do hot yoga. So there is a hot yoga class in the evening to all the competitors around the world mm-hmm. who are coming mm-hmm. to compete. So mm-hmm. we decided to go there.
So I understand why the hot yoga itself was so compelling to you. Was there anything about Bikram Chowdhury himself as a human being that made him compelling to you, that drew you towards him as a person?
So when I first saw Bikram during the championship, so he was sitting down judging everybody. And so we are the competitors. So we were practicing and here and there with the teams and everything. So I first saw him and I met him when I finished my routine on the stage. I finished my performance. And then when I stepped down, he came to me and he said, "You are really good. You need to focus more on your alignments and don't focus only on the flexibility part. Focus on the strength and the stamina. Mm-hmm. Do hot yoga classes. Get it done." Then I said, "Okay, thank you so much." So for me mm-hmm. on that time, if somebody is giving you advice as a teacher, as a guru who has the championship I'm competing with on that time. Mm-hmm. So for me in India, guru is everything. We respect our guru too much. Mm.
Anytime there is a teacher or a so-called guru where there is an anticipation of devotion or adoration, that can be a really slippery slope. It creates a problematic power imbalance, and it can also harm the ability to be discerning. If a person feels that they can never critically evaluate or disapprove of a guru's inappropriate behavior, the danger of obligatory obedience or devotion can be a setup for a very dangerous relationship.
Every teacher who taught us till today, even starting 2001, all the teachers, we have so much respect for them. And for me, who is changing my life, who is going to change my life, if I was thinking. So it's like, okay, we respect all the gurus. On that time, that was my mentality while seeing him, like, okay, I should respect him as a guru. I should give my gratitude to him.
Talk to me about that mindset, Mandeep, because I think that's an important issue here, that you say we respect our gurus too much,
yeah,
right? What do you think is the risk in that?
Basically, it is all about your mental status, how much you trust your own thoughts. We know the line as a guru that we can only take that much from the person until and unless it is healthy for us or it is good for us. But if you think, okay, now he is giving me which I don't need it,
yeah,
and if he's trying to give me that, I might take my step back on that time and I'll say, I don't need this. I am here to learn from you the yoga. If you're going to teach me something else more than yoga, I'm not going to take that part.
Okay.
I was in a need of who can push me physically, mentally, to make me more stronger than anybody else. I'm going to be with you. But if you're going to push me down, taking the name of the yoga and break me more into million pieces, I'm not going to take that thing. I might say end on that time.
Do you feel like he did that? Do you feel like he tried to push you down and break you into a million
pieces?
Yes,
many times. That was a journey for my teacher training, not on when I was there as a competitor. As a competitor, when I was there, it was so much helping or so much, you're from India, I'm from India. So Indian helps Indian, you know?
And when Bikram tried to break you down, like you said, a guru should not do that. But when he did, was your initial impulse then to walk away, to say, I don't want this?
When I went to the teacher training program, when I signed the paper, I was standing with the two other people. There was one Indian teacher who actually pushed me to come out from my trauma and start doing something with my life. So he was also with me. So he finished the class and he came to me and he didn't come to me. He told somebody else that, is that girl know how to do massage? And I said, yes, I'm a professional therapist. And then he's okay, bring it over. He's just like, bring it over. Immediately, he put the towel down in the office and he lie down in the office with the people are standing outside. And I went inside. He said, okay, take that oil. Let's do it. And I was like, okay, first of all, this is not the right place to do it. You can't just lie down on the floor and start making somebody do. I'm not ready for it. I didn't came for the massage. It was all going in my head and I'd not be able to express my feelings because I don't know how to do it. There was no English words for me to say it. So I was like, okay, let's do your job, Mandeep. Let's start. Then I start massaging it like half an hour. It goes to 1 hour. My hands start feeling numb. My fingers are feeling numb. And I don't know how to say, I'm getting tired now. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And he was just lie down, not even talking, not even saying anything. And then I said, can I go? He said, okay, okay, go. So that's my wife first interaction as a student on that time. But I didn't feel really good about that. Maybe as a professional, maybe I say yes to it, but not as a teacher training, as a trainer, as a training program. So that was not my priority. If I want to do massage, there's enough massages in India. I can do it and I can, from the patients, I can run my show. But that was not my passion. My passion was yoga.
When a powerful, manipulative person takes advantage of multiple vulnerabilities, as we see happening with Mandeep, she is far from home. She sometimes just didn't know the right words to communicate with in English. She was indoctrinated to respect the guru no matter what. When an inappropriate ask like, give me a massage, is made, people can feel almost dissociated and go along with it. But it's as though the nervous system freezes up a bit and a person just goes along. It's not as though they're really consenting to it. This can set up a deeply uncomfortable precedent in a toxic relationship, especially when there's a power difference, and can also leave a person in a situation like this blaming themselves for going along. Also, other people looking at the situation from the outside may also fall into the usual blaming rhetoric of, well, you're the one who agreed to do the massage.
After that experience, though, when he lay down and asked you to give a massage, it's not what you had signed up to do. It wasn't part of the course. How did you feel about the course at that point?
It was a kind of like, you know, maybe that was only once time and maybe it's not going to happen again during the program. I think it's the end. For me, it was the end.
Yeah.
You know, only one massage and that's the end. Now my yoga journey starts. So I never thought that it's going to happen again and again and again and again. That was not my thought.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it's lots of money I have invested.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm far away from my house.
Yes.
That's my last chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, there was no choice. For me, there was no option. I have to finish the training.
Right.
I have to prove myself that this is the only last chance you can do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's something you said that's so interesting to me, because in your case, it was literal, Mandeep. At the time, you didn't feel you knew English as well. So when this initially was starting to happen, you said, I literally didn't have the words in English to express my feeling for what was happening.
Yeah.
That was literal, right? But so many people in that same situation, viewing the yoga teacher, especially someone like Bikram, as powerful and as a guru and as a teacher, they may have had perfect command of English, but also felt that they did not have the words to describe what was happening at that moment because there was so much conflict inside of them. This is supposed to be my guru, but this man is asking me to do something so inappropriate. What do I do? You know, what am I feeling? And it's a confusing feeling. And for you, you literally felt, I didn't have the word. But I think anybody in your situation would not have known what to do.
But I think I have the right answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't my words. See, he is Indian. And he has built up such a big empire in the US on that time.
Mm-hmm.
He has such a good impact in front of people. He changed, I don't know how many thousand lives only while teaching yoga. So he has the power, he has the money, he has good product in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so good into playing games through the mind. He can change the next person's mind and manipulate them. Like, whatever I am saying, whatever I am doing is 100% right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. Before Bikram, anybody has set up such a big impact as a yoga. And this yoga has given in US so much employment to the students. It's the health plus money. It's like a physical and the mental benefit together. So that's how he misuses their effort, their money, and their dedication, their love about yoga and who is giving them. So I think he kind of trapped everybody's mind that whatever is gonna, if you're gonna say, massage me, comb my hair, they start combing his hair, press my legs. They started press his legs. Indian guru never does that. I know it. I'm from India. Being a girl, maybe man, you can say that there is a gender, like men can do massages to men, like, you know, touches his feet or massaging his feet. But Indian guru never let any woman touch their feet or massages their hair. What? My question, when I saw like people, like students climbing, combing his hair, the question like, why are they doing that? It never happened in India. You know, why everybody is following this routine, teaching yoga, practicing, making a speech, inspiring people is good. But this is not what guru is.
Right.
Guru's signature is what? Full cloths from top to bottom.
Yeah. It sounds like though he was abusing his power. He had this big impact.
Exactly.
He was making the money. So he was abusing that power and really showing people I have the power. You're sitting here, you're combing my hair, you're massaging my legs. That's a show of power. And that's an abuse of power, quite frankly.
That's abusive.
Abuse of power. So Bikram himself, Bikram Chowdhury, is such a strong personality. But at the end of the day, he founded this system of yoga called Bikram Yoga. So you not only came, you did the international competition. Now you're going to go to his teacher training. What did you hope would come from the teacher training? Did you intend to want to then go back to India and then do the hot yoga classes in India?
Definitely, yes. Because my plan was that only if I do the teacher training program, maybe I'll start working somewhere, or maybe I open my own studio in India, mm-hmm. I can start hot yoga classes, because nobody was on that time known to hot yoga in India.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
not even a single studio on that time was there.
Interesting. Something that's come up in the way that many people talk about Bikram is that he's very charismatic, you know, very big character, big presence, almost like a performer. Did you have that experience of him?
Yes, during the teacher training program. So he basically, I think, he kind of attention seeker.
Mm-hmm.
He wants everybody attention. I have so much.
Right.
You can also become like me. You can also earn like me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he was promised. It was a promise that you could have this life, this success. I think that was very much how he was approaching it.
He shows the dreams to everybody.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. He shows the dreams to people. I agree. My session with Mandeep will continue after this break.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
What was the teacher training like? Because I've read and listened to many reports about it, and people have described the teacher training as having very strict rules and very strict requirements. And these were very long days for some 9-10 weeks, and they weren't allowed to use the bathroom, and they had to stay up very late in the night, and people were getting sick. Did you have an experience like that as you went through the training?
Yes, definitely. That was the first training ever I felt that my life goes up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it depends how strong you are, okay? The mm-hmm. first thing. I don't say that I was the one who was strong enough to handle that program. I made myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for me, whatever comes in front of me, I'm going to crush. Doesn't matter what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how many times I fall sick. Doesn't matter how many times I feel tired. Doesn't matter how many times I have puked. Doesn't matter. So for me, everything was just behind my back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I want to put,
mm-hmm.
grabbed in front of me and throws it back. It's like that.
Mm-hmm,
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Let's do it. Let's finish this 9 weeks.
The documentary titled Bikram, Yogi, Guru, Predator, lays out the grueling nature of the yoga teacher training. And Mandeep had this experience as well. Certainly, intensity may be a part of any kind of physically demanding training program. But when that gets coupled with deprivation and control, for example, not being permitted to use a bathroom and being mocked for wanting to do so, or being subjected to sleep deprivation, that's when we veer into very toxic territory and the narcissistic and culty space of boundary violations and breaking people down in the name of obedience to a program and its leader. Mandeep herself talks about valuing the discipline that this process required, but also acknowledged it's too much. Intensity is fine, but dehumanization is not.
For me, it was not only the challenge. The challenge was for learning English, learning the dialogues, giving the dialogues in front of 400 people, and practicing at the same time. And that was a challenge for me. And then the rest of practice. So like it's like how you say that. I love the discipline, but sometimes it's like over.
Just too much.
It's too much. And the too much is not good for everybody.
Right. I don't think it's good for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody.
But those who were hanging, there was nothing left. So maybe they can survive. But rest of them, they think, oh, I'm dying. Mm-hmm. Oh, this, oh, that. And I can say that could be a 99% people are like that. You know, maybe 1% are like that. Okay, I don't give a damn about it, how long this is.
So Mandeep, now I want to talk to you a little bit more about the process of grooming and the process of abuse that happened through getting to know this system of Bikram yoga and Bikram himself and going through this training program. You know, again, the way this program was, is it really pushed people to a limit. Like I said, the isolation, many of you are far from home, restricting even the most basic bodily functions, like using the bathroom is, I know a lot of it was about strength, but what did it feel like at the time? You know, how, I guess my question would be, how did you think about it or even rationalize that this is how this program was organized?
So I think it is designed in such a way to hold the people mind. So make sure they don't think anything else, only the yoga, only that you are stuck for the 9 weeks with us. You can't go out. You can't think about anything else, you have to do it. So there was a certain things which is designed in such a way, nobody has a choice because everybody signed the paper and everybody invested the money into it. Very few people will come up and say that, I don't want to do this, give me my money back.
Right. Ultimately, the fact is, Mandeep, when people hear stories like this, they say, okay, you're in a room, it's very hot, they're pushing you. He's even insulting people. He's making fun of what they look like and making insulting their body and saying you can't go to the bathroom. A lot of people will say, I'm going to leave. I'm walking out of this room. And what you're saying is somebody who was there, you've invested all this money. You actually believe in this. You see a bigger career coming out of this. And I would argue you're sitting in 104 degrees temperature. You're not thinking straight. If you're that hot, right?
That's what happened in the teacher training program. Everybody's minds was stuck. Not only not to just say no. It was like, okay, yes, yes, yes. There is no time for say no. That you have to do it. So everything is built up very slowly and gently to change their mental system.
Right.
To change their mentality, what they think, how you think. You're supposed to be like that. You're supposed to behave. If you're a trainee, you're supposed to do massage. You're supposed to comb his hair. Or I don't think so. Even a single lady came up and said, I don't want to do this. I didn't came for hair for this. So that's how everybody got blackmailed somehow. Or maybe mentally blocked. Like they want to say it, but they are not able to say it.
Right. And I also think that there is that sense of he has elevated himself to such a position of people want to be close to him. You say, oh, he's the leader, he's the guru, he's the teacher. When that person selects you, come brush my hair, come massage my legs, unfortunately, as part of a grooming process, it's a part of a process of a person feeling special in that moment.
Exactly. There's a 400 student and he picks up only girls, 4 to 5 girls. And those 4 to 5 girls thinks, oh, maybe I'm good in yoga.
Exactly.
Or maybe I'm doing very good in dialogues. Or maybe I can be a good teacher. I can teach in a studio. So everybody's thinking that they're doing something good. That's why maybe he's calling you. But there's always, you can understand why this. If you want to prove yourself in yoga, like when I went for one massage before the championship, then I went for my second when he called me during the night. It was like almost 2 o'clock.
Oh.
2 o'clock in the night. Like they start from 7 a.m., finish at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, go home and do the dinner at the hotels where you're staying. And being a vegetarian for me, I was in Las Vegas, no vegetarian food. I have to just survive on the cheese pizza. Mm-hmm, so you can say that. Mm-hmm. Cheese pizza. Every single day I had the cheese pizza in Las Vegas.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
So he invited you to his room at 2 in the morning.
Yeah. So he called somebody, call that girl. So they called me like, Mandeep, can you come over to Bikram suit? Like I said, it's 2 o'clock. Like, yes. Bikram is calling you. Okay, okay. I never asked any other question. I went over there. I don't know, maybe he wants to talk to me. And he said, okay, take that bottle, come here. And I was like, I didn't came for that, for the massage at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I was in shock on that time. I was like, seriously? I just finished, like, I have to sleep. I have a class. But I didn't said anything to him. That was in my head.
Yeah. There are two things that are jumping out here. First, let's talk about sleep control in abusive relationships. It's something we actually don't talk about enough. Sleep is as essential as food or water, and controlling that or interrupting that is a part of coercive control dynamics as well. Now, in this case, it appears that not only was Bikram so entitled that he believed that waking someone up at 2 a.m. while they were sleeping simply for his pleasure and his massage was not an issue, it also speaks to a massive lack of empathy. His behavior reflects his willingness to view Mandeep as basically being in his service. He actually fell asleep during the massage. And it appears that he never even took note of or considered that this is a human being who has been woken up to do this. It's the middle of the night. That means she's not sleeping. And she has a class in the morning. That complete lack of recognition of her personhood or the need of another person is a signature of a toxic, narcissistic person.
I was confused. What's going on? Maybe second time. Right. I started massaging. Everybody was outside. He was inside. And then I was massaging. He slept. 1 hour and he slept. And I was still there. And then I thought he's going to say, Mandeep, let's go. Now you can go. But he didn't even bother to say me, I'm sleepy. You can go, Mandeep. Mm-hmm. And when I was trying to move my hand, just press my feet. Yeah, press my toes. And then at the end, I said, I have a class in the morning, 7. Can I leave? Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot. Yeah, go. So I left the room and I was like half sleepy, half like full tired. So this happened gradually. And so he didn't ask anything in the first massage. He didn't ask anything in the second massage. He didn't said anything on the third. So it was like process he was building up to make sure that I should feel comfortable going over that. Okay,
right.
That I have to only do this is my job, Mandeep. You have to do the massage, you have to do classes, you have to do teaching the learning. It was like building up in my head, okay, this is also your part of the job now. You're not only learning here, you have to do the massages also. Okay, that's okay, keep doing it, Mandeep. You don't have a choice. Let's do it. Then, yeah, I think I gave up at one period of time, like at the maybe my third week or something. And after like finishing 2 weeks or third week, he called me again. So that's how I say, this is not right. Something is there. I was not feeling good about it. The first feeling of the bad when he called me and he was sitting on the sofa. The daughter was sitting next to him in his lap. Imagine the situation. The daughter is sitting on the lap. I entered in the room. The two teachers were sitting on the other sofa. Four teachers are sitting somewhere else. And he told me, sit on the sofa. I sat on the sofa, he lifted his leg and put on my lap. And I said, press this. I felt like I am not servant.
Right.
Your daughter is sitting on your lap. Ask your daughter to massage your feet. She has the right to do it, not me. Emotionally and psychologically, somewhere inside, I was feeling very, very low, you know, not like using as a servant, you know.
Yeah.
That's the time I felt, what I'm doing, why I'm here. And so many people are looking at me and I'm massaging his feet. This is something I was like, no, that's not right. you're doing wrong. That's the first time I felt like that was a wrong decision to come to the teacher training.
I didn't sign up for this.
If I want to massage my feet, I can massage my father's feet. I can massage my mother's feet. Mm-hmm. I can massage feet and earn money.
Right here, Mandeep says she made the wrong decision to come to the teacher training. Well, that sounds like self-blaming language. She made the decision to come to the teacher training in the service of her career. Is that a wrong decision? What was wrong was that the so-called guru teacher was using his power to subjugate someone who came to the training in good faith, someone who was thousands of miles from home. When we pathologize our decisions, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that, what we miss is that in toxic relationships, we often make decisions in good faith based on the assumption that the other person is going to behave appropriately. The problem in these circumstances is the toxic person's behavior, not your decision to do something that made sense personally or professionally.
I didn't sign up for this. Mm-hmm. So that's the time it broke my heart. No, there's so much you have to see and feel what's going on to understand the things.
Yeah.
That's the point where I felt like, okay, that something is not right.
And did this continue that you kept getting called to do these massages repeatedly during the training period?
Yes. After third, fourth massage, when this happened, the incident I told you. So after a couple of days, he called me again. He never called directly. He always tells somebody else to call.
Yes, yes.
So like, okay, come over. Boss is calling you. So I thought it's become a routine for me on that time. Do the massage, do the yoga, do the teacher training program, massage and go home, sleep for 2 hours, get back again. God. That was like curriculum I was following, like keep doing it. And then I start massaging him. And he told me, like, I was rubbing his legs and massaging and doing this. And he grabbed my hand and he put my hand on his private part.
Mm.
And then I lift my hand. I was in a shock. Mm-hmm. I respect you as a guru. I can't do this. I was already on the edge, on that frustration level, massaging too many times. Mm-hmm. And the time when he told me, like, oh, I'm calling you not for the massage, I'm calling for this.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be, you have to do. You know? So I thought, like, no, I can't do this. You are my guru. I'm so sorry. Can I leave? And he said, oh, it's okay. Go. No worries. No worries. Go. I rushed, entered my room, and I start crying.
So sorry.
I said, the only thing that came in my head, what are you doing here, Mandeep?
Mm.
And the one thing only came in my head is my son's face. I said, I'm not him. I'm so far away. I lost my husband. My son is far away from me.
Yeah.
I invested so much of my power, so much my strength, so much my money. And I'm here only for this.
Yeah.
What should I do now? And then I called the guy who bring me to the teacher training program.
Yes, yes.
I called him. I told him, I want to meet you right now.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what happened? I said, I want to meet you right now. Can we meet? Yes, it was a night. I went to his room and I hugged him and I told him this what happened.
Yeah.
Why he is telling me to do it? Why he's thinking I'm that type of girl who can do, I can't do this. I didn't sign up for this. And then he said, like, Mandeep, maybe some misunderstanding or maybe you misjudged the part. Like, I never judged. I know what is this. Somebody will tell me to do to massage his private part. I know what is happening. I'm not that dumb.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Maybe I not be able to express my feelings in English or whatever. But I surely know what is wrong and what is right.
Yep.
And this is wrong. This is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked me, like, now what are you going to do? I was in the middle of the training.
Mm.
I said, listen, I want to leave. I don't want to do this program. I didn't sign up for this. I want my money because I have earned for it. I don't have the option anymore. Like, I want my money back. I want to go right now.
Yeah.
And he told me, okay, Mandeep, you know, let's talk in the morning. And I said, I'm not going to talk to him. I don't want to see his face. And he said, okay, talk to his family member. Then I said, who? Whom should I talk? And wife? No, I'm not going to talk to wife. I don't know what is happening.
No, it's not appropriate.
Then I said, okay, the niece left who was taking care of the teacher training program.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'm going to talk to the niece.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning when I was going for the class, I called his niece and I told him very clearly, listen, this happened to me last night. I'm here only to learn yoga. And please, I just want to go back to India. Give me my money back, please.
Mm-hmm.
That's my main question. And then she told me, no, you know, I believe something misunderstanding happened, Mandeep, don't worry, I'll talk to them. No, 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 no need to talk to anybody. You just get my money back, that I'm not interested anymore to this teacher training program. And then let me talk to him. Like, okay, talk to him then. Let me know. Then I don't know what happened. She talked to him or whatever. Then she came in the afternoon and told me, like, boss wants to talk to you. Like, no, I don't want to talk to anybody. Mandeep, listen, he really wants to talk to you. And I said, I'm not interested.
So once again, here we are with the necessary ingredient for every toxic leader, for every narcissist, the enabler. Now, not only has Mandeep shared that the teacher who told her about the class told her that what happened between her and Bikram was a misunderstanding, now Bikram's niece, who works for the program, is saying the same thing. Narcissistic systems are shaming, gaslighting, and denying systems. Framing something as just being a misunderstanding is a classical gambit, not just by abusers, but by the people who enable them. The challenge is that the enablers are not always as charismatic or charming in that same way as the toxic leaders, but in many ways, they can do just as much harm because they will often blame the person who was abused or harmed in the name of self-interest or because of their own trauma bonds to the toxic leader, or very likely, both of those things are happening.
I sat all the way back behind, before I was sitting in the front, next to his chair, the boss chair. On that day, I sat all the way back. His lecture was going on. He finished the lecture. There was a 20 minutes break on that time. And he went outside. I was not putting attention to listening his lectures, not interested in training. I lost my track on that time. And he went outside. He waited for me. I don't know what I was doing. I may be in the head that Mandeep is going to come to me and talk to me. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm done. He went outside. He came before starting his lecture. He came back all the way down. He sat next to me on the chair. And he told me, Mandeep, I'm really sorry if you felt something like that, but that was not my intention. You continue with your teacher training program. Don't leave. It is good for you. You need this. You invested the money. You're good in yoga. You're a very good girl. You're a hardworking girl. I don't want you to leave everything in the middle. Finish your teacher training program. And it's not going to happen again. I'm really sorry for that. And he left after saying all these words. And then I talked to the guy again, my friend, that this happened. Then he said, Mandeep, it's okay. Maybe some misunderstanding happened or maybe whatever. Why you want to leave? Why you want to your money back? You finished the teacher training already in the halfway, you know? And I said, give me some time. I'll think about it and maybe. Then after, you know, in the evening, I thought like, okay, if he said sorry, maybe he mean it. It's okay. If somebody says sorry, forgive. That's fine. And that's how I continued my teacher training after that.
Beware the toxic apology. It's likely that the enablers who were focused on damage control, protecting the leader, and protecting the brand, told him that this behavior is not okay, not because it hurt Mandeep, not because it was a violation of trust, not because it was abuse, but most likely because it would be bad for the Bikram Empire. So his apology, like many narcissistic apologies, was a non-apology. And what Mandeep shared here is a classical toxic maneuver. He says, it was not my intention. And before that, she recalls him saying, I'm sorry if you felt something like that. Those are not apologies. There is no taking of responsibility, no awareness that harm was done, nope, and does leave one wondering, what then was your intention in waking up a person in the middle of the night, asking her to massage you, and then putting her hand on your penis? Kind of leaves you wondering, right? What the hell was your intention?
My session about Bikram yoga will continue after this break.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences, with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
So that was not the end. Then what happened? I didn't knew all this during my teacher training after that, that this was going on behind my back. After a couple of days break, their family start calling me for the massages.
What?
Yeah. I don't want to say anybody's name. One lady came for the massage, invited me. Then the second lady came, invited me for the massage. I don't know why. I don't know how. I think they was trying to prove that Bikram is not the only one who's taking massages. There are women too. You should feel comfortable that he's not doing anything wrong. So we all are into that. I don't know what was the propaganda. So I massaged one lady, the second lady. It was all fine. I was comfortable doing that. It's okay. Because I was calculating in my head, what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah,
what's going to
happen
next? And after 3 to 4 massages, then my teacher training gets over. Then it was fine after that. He was not harassing me physically anymore.
Here we are seeing an attempt at normalizing the abuse. It speaks to how entrenched his family was in maintaining the toxic system. By requesting her to come massage women, they were attempting, most likely, to neutralize his behavior. In this fashion, enablers can become co-conspirators and co-perpetrators.
I think there was so much things were going on behind my back. I felt like I was left over in the teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
So I finished my teacher training and I got my certificate and I left US. I was in a contact with family and the Bikram also at that time. It's like a never-ending process. Like he tried to prove that he never did anything wrong to me. But I know it was wrong. And mm-hmm. I got to know all this when I got a mail from one of the nurses who worked Elizabeth Winfield.
Mm-hmm.
She messaged me, like, written everything. Like, Mandeep, is something happened with you in the teacher training program?
Hmm.
Any physical abuse or something?
Oh.
And I heard the first case when somebody filed a complaint against Bikram that he sexually harassed. The first case. So maybe I contacted Elizabeth or she connected with me. So I have no...
Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she asked that question. Like, something happened within the teacher training program because I think there is something muddy behind it. And I said, why are you asking me this question? So she told me, like, when you were in the teacher training program, the girls came to me and they told me, like, stay away from the Mandeep. She is bad mouth girl. She is a lesbian. She touches girls in the wrong way. She's not mentally healthy. And they are trying to prove that I am maybe I'm not a good girl.
Yeah.
And I told Elizabeth, listen, this is not because I was bad or something. It was because they knew if Mandeep can come up and tell his family member that he did this to me, so she can spread the word, all the teacher training, all the trainees around.
Okay, so any of you out there listening who are narcissistic abuse savvy, you already know what this is. A classical smear campaign. Anytime a person communicates with an abuser or about an abuser to their enablers, you can set a clock by their willingness to recruit those flying monkeys, those people willing to do their bidding and spread untruths about you.
I have to tell you, Mandeep, I have so much respect for you at the beginning of this. My respect for you now knows no bounds. To be in a situation like you were, with the amount of difference in power that he had in that situation and you did, to have him abuse you the way he did, for you refusing to say, I'm not going to sit with this man and hear this, to know that something bad happened, to not be talked out of it, with all these people saying, maybe it's a misunderstanding, maybe it's a misunderstanding. You're a very rare woman, because most people, this experience, when your entire reality is being doubted, it's called gaslighting. Most people crumble under that and doubt themselves. And then when you add onto that, this next thing that happened of people now accusing you of all kinds of things, we call that a smear campaign. That often breaks people, and that didn't break you. It's quite remarkable in the face of the grooming and the abuse that you experienced, because it's absolutely awful. And in this circumstance where you actually thought you'd be safe practicing yoga, learning from a guru, I'm so grateful for your story, Mandeep, because many survivors think in that moment, can we actually stand our ground? And in your case, you did. You said, I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to be talked out of this. You did finally talk with him and he said, sorry. And you wanted to believe that. And while it didn't happen again, what happened after that?
Exactly. That was the biggest shocker of my life, because the moment I heard that statement from the one girl who actually put it against the boys, when I read her statement, what he did, This is my action, like, Mandeep, this is the same thing happened with you.
Yes.
And he repeated the same word, same actions to the next coming girls. And I have no idea how many girls he has used before my training or after my training.
Correct.
And I was like, thank God I was not part of his shit. He has to be punished. He has to say sorry about his actions.
So let's talk about that idea of punishment. Do you feel that he's had to face consequences, that he's had to face a punishment?
He escaped.
Right. He did.
He escaped. But what I think, maybe he escaped physically, but mentally he is spoiled. He's dead mentally. He made such a big empire. He put so much hard work into this yoga. He put his soul to make this business so big. When people have so much respect and love for you, and when everything is ruined because of your actions, that's the biggest downfall for that man. And mentally, he has already punished, but physically, he's not.
No. I mean, I agree with you in part. I think that he is not able to come here to the United States, live his lavish life, that there's been a downfall. People are changing the names of the studios, Hot Yoga. They're not putting his name on them anymore. And while he does travel around much of the world as a free man and gets to keep teaching, and I shudder to think may still also be harming other people,
nobody looks him with respect anymore.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yes.
So what does punishment for a narcissist really look like? Very often, we do not see criminal or even civil penalties, but Mandeep nailed it when she said, basically, he lost face and, in essence, he lost narcissistic supply. And perhaps that is the ultimate punishment for a narcissistic
or toxic person.
What mm-hmm. else he has on? In our India, we say that if you don't have money, it's okay. If you don't have power, it's okay. But if everybody respect you, that's everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You can live on that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he lost the respect.
Mm-hmm. He absolutely
He's a dead
did.
Man for us.
Yeah. And so knowing that, and obviously it's not a full consequence, right? There were not, you know, people were financially harmed. People were physically harmed. There's no consequence for that. It's more of an existential punishment he's faced. So tell me, do you still believe in yoga?
Of course I do.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I believed yoga before when I started. I believed more when I come over from my all the problems. I still believe it because it is not for me anymore. It is for the rest of the people who are practicing yoga because I changed my life. And I don't know how many women are facing the same problems, physically, mentally, or whatever. So it is for me, you know, every time I stand on the stage and teach, I felt maybe I can change this person's life. So it doesn't matter how, but I can even put a one seed into the dead body and maybe it can grow slowly and gradually. So that's the mm-hmm, only one thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, I still teach, still practice, not for others, for myself, because I want to be happy. I want to feel good. I want to feel healthy. I don't want stress in my life. I don't want depression mm-hmm, in my life mm-hmm. anymore. So mm-hmm. whatever I'm doing for myself and for others.
These are my takeaways from my conversation with Mandeep. First, Mandeep's story is a reminder about that most toxic of apologies. I'm sorry you feel that way. If someone comes at you with that, your narcissist alarms should be blaring, because that's not an apology. It's a questioning about how you're feeling. There is no taking of responsibility and no awareness that you were harmed. In our next takeaway, as a world, we need to stop putting faith in charismatic gurus or other grandiose folks who behave badly under the mantle of healing. There is no yoga pose in the world, no healing mantra that would ever excuse abusive, contemptuous behavior. Sadly, the charismatic, grandiose healer types are hucksters that have been around since the dawn of time. It requires everyone to stop worshiping these so-called spiritual gurus and recognize that any healing we do is about us. Next, the power of someone like a Bikram is something we see with many people with narcissistic personalities. They are confusing, and they are really confusing when it gets mixed in with something like a form of yoga that people really value, that they are able to use to start a business and have their own lucrative yoga practice as well. The dissonance between the magic of the yoga, the training, and the livelihood that comes from that, being groomed in the setting to agree to his inappropriate request for massages, makes it all but impossible for a person in a situation like this one to be discerning and to set boundaries. This story had an additional wrinkle. These trainings were expensive, and for many students, including Mandeep, the idea of walking away from that much money was not realistic. And many toxic relationships are made more harmful because people make deals with themselves. They say to themselves, let me just get through this period of time, or in this case, let me just get through this training, and then I can get out of this situation. But the problem is that continuing to participate in a toxic relationship or situation like this takes a toll on a person. It may feel as simple as, let me just finish the training and everything will be fine. However, often it won't be fine because the abuse harms you and stays with you. I've said this before and I will say it again. A toxic leader can only do their damage with enablers. So don't underestimate the power of the enablers. Even if a person is not toxic, but keeps rationalizing the problematic behavior in a system, well, maybe it's all a misunderstanding, that can actually really harm other people. Don't be an enabler, and be cautious with the enablers that you encounter. They may have seemed like your friend or ally until you call out the toxic behavior of a narcissist in your midst. Thank you to all of you for sending in the questions and listening to Navigating Narcissism. In this next question, someone asks, what is your advice to a therapist or mental health care professional who has married into a narcissistic family system? You know, it's interesting that this person saying it's either a therapist or mental health care professional is going to be the same advice to anyone who marries into a narcissistic family system. However, I do think there's something tricky when it's a therapist or a mental health professional who marries into such a system. A, you're going to be a lot more aware of some of these toxic patterns, but you're going to have no more of a magic wand to fix this than any of us. That's the fact, is that mental health care professional, wizard, sort of special forest fairy, doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to fix this. But here's the difference. One piece of advice I'd say is very important for somebody who has that background as a therapist or a mental health care professional is that they may start using you as a free shrink, such as the entitlement of narcissistic family systems. So be careful of that and ensure you set boundaries. The second piece is, and it's not clear to me from your question, but let's say the person you married is not narcissistic, but the members of their family are. Kind of be a soft touch here. What you don't want to do is just sort of go right up into your partner's face and say, or your husband, wife, spouse, don't roll up into their face and say, yo, your family's a bunch of narcissists. That's a lot. But what you do want to do is be very aware of how your partner perhaps is affected by their family. Because if you can see that they're regularly being hurt or disrespected, you may very well be the first time that your spouse or partner is hearing a voice telling them, yeah, the way they're treating you isn't okay. That validation can really be important to the connective tissue of your relationship. Where this gets really problematic and potentially tricky is if the person you married is not seeing that the patterns in their family are toxic. Then again, I will tell you, make it about the patterns. Don't say, how can you not see that your father's a narcissist? But instead to say, I just want to come and talk to you about some of these patterns that your father is showing. You may very well find out that your spouse is justifying or rationalizing. That might be evidence of their longstanding trauma bonds. But you, with your training as a therapist, hopefully we'll be able to then say, let me frame this as why this isn't healthy, or also use it as a jumping off place to the boundaries that you need to set. Because you could do, in a very supportive way, be able to educate a spouse or partner about why these patterns are unhealthy, how they're affecting you, and together as a couple, ideally, be able to set boundaries with this system. Marrying into a narcissistic family system can also have bigger implications. For example, if you have your own children, then these are going to be your kids' grandparents, aunts, and uncles. As a result, you want to have these conversations before those kinds of things happen, ideally, so the proper boundaries can be set early and you're not having to sort of build the airplane in the sky. I think in some ways, when it comes to narcissistic relationships, being a therapist or a mental health professional of any kind is both a blessing and a curse. In a way, you can see the patterns for what they are, but in another, in some ways, I think we feel even more helpless because we know there's other things we can take on. But also, you may also have to absorb that radical acceptance of, ay, what have I gotten myself into? I may love this person I married, but damn, this is going to be a long, hard ride with their family. So good luck with that.
A big thank you to our executive producers, Jada Pinkett Smith, Fallon Jethro, Ellen Rakitin, and Dr. Romani Devasala. And thank you to our producer, Matthew Jones, associate producer, Mara De La Rosa, and consultant, Kelly Ebeling. And finally, thank you to our editors and sound engineers, Devin Donaghy and Calvin Bailiff.
Thank you.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.